This is Word of Mouth from New Hampshire Public Radio. I'm Virginia Prescott. This year, the overlap of Hanukkah and Thanksgiving introduces a whole new element to what's on this year's holiday menu. For millions of Americans, a hybrid holiday meal is their tradition. Food writer, chef, and public radio personality Kathy Gunst has been reaching out to friends and chefs and food writers from across the country who incorporate foods and habits from their original lands into the great American Thanksgiving meal. Kathy Gunst, always great to see you. Thanks for coming.
Thank you for having me.
So let's talk about Thanksgiving. You approach it as sort of a, forensic food expert, looking at what's on the plate to figure out where people come from.
I'm thinking of myself more like a Sherlock Holmes.
That's a little more romantic.
Right? Like you take a look at the table, the Thanksgiving table in an American house, and you will learn an awful lot about where that family came from, where the grandparents came from, possibly where the great-grandparents came from. But you can also learn where they're living now. There's a lot of regional differences and also ethnic stories to tell about different families.
And what's an example of how you can tell where someone comes from by looking at the table?
I think possibly the most telltale sign is the Thanksgiving stuffing. And there again is a debate. Do you call it a stuffing or a dressing? Mm-hmm. If it's in the bird, it's a stuffing. If it's out of the bird, it's a dressing. But it's all the same stuff. So it's almost like if you look at the different types of stuffing that people make, you're going inside their story. Mm. For instance, my good friend Grace Young, who's a Chinese-American cookbook author living in New York City, she tells me that most Chinese-Americans make a fusion Thanksgiving feast. And she says the most typical Chinese dish is the rice stuffing. And home cooks that she knows usually do it with glutinous or sweet rice flavored with Chinese mushrooms, Chinese sausage, dried shrimp, soy sauce, scallions, and cilantro. She said her mom used to make it with long grain rice and fresh chestnuts and dried scallops in addition to the dried mushrooms and sausage. And God, doesn't that just sound so good? But the idea that let's just think of the bird, right? It is the symbol of Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. It is the symbol of this great American holiday where we all sit around a table and share food and families get together. And it's not about gifts and it's not about shopping. It's about that turkey and what goes inside it and around it. So if you think that everybody brings with them something different, their table's really going to reflect it. And I just love the idea of this Chinese rice stuffing. I want it now.
Well, Kathy, I guess you've been really looking into a lot of people's stories of immigrant Thanksgivings. What else have you got to tell us?
It's so interesting. Another friend, Von Diaz, a wonderful journalist in New York, is Puerto Rican. She just did an article probing into her background in Thanksgiving. And she's talking about something she makes called pavo chon, which is a turkey that is stuffed with mofongo, a traditional Puerto Rican dish, which is fried plantains, garlic, and chicharron. And she's serving that to her friends here to honor her grandmother, who's elderly and not able to cook in the kitchen anymore. And that is certainly brings us to another part of Thanksgiving, which is that it may be the most sentimental of all holidays. I know that at our house, we have cream spinach in honor of my dad every year. And we serve canned cranberry sauce in addition to my killer cranberry sauce. Because my dad would not eat cranberry sauce unless he saw the ridges, right? These kind of sentimental things that carry on are as important as what country we've hailed from.
Well, and they trigger things. You just smell the smell of turkey cooking as I know it, as I remember it, and you're automatically brought back to these days.
Yeah. You're home, exactly. We still put little chocolate turkeys on the table. My kids are like in their 20s now, but it's not Thanksgiving without these things. My mother-in-law's Jell-O pudding that was her great aunt's recipe, which is so disgusting that we love it now. Canned pineapple, orange sherbet, and Jell-O on my table. It's like, yes, of course, because it's honoring this family tradition, which is another version of the same story.
Mm. Do you think you might be incorporating some of the ideas that you've been getting from other cultures?
You know, I would really like to. Traditionally, we do a bread stuffing with oysters, fresh oysters. And when my kids were little, they would always go, "What is that?" And I'm like, "Nothing, nothing." And I would just throw them in really quickly. Well, now they love it and they look forward to it. But oysters is a real symbol of New England because of the seafood. Mm. If you see cornbread and sausage, it probably means someone's from the South.
Yeah.
And a lot of people from California grate citrus into their stuffing or incorporate it into a salad. So there are these clues on our table about where we grew up.
I guess those are places where gluten is still allowed or
don't get me started
or
on that. Yes. I mean, most stuffing are bread-based, but of course you can do cornbread. And as we heard in the Chinese tradition, you can make it with rice. Out west, there's a lot of wild rice stuffings. And in the Midwest, in Minnesota, speaking of Minnesota, I have an Indian friend, Raghavan Iyer, who lives in Minneapolis, or outside Minneapolis. He's a cookbook author and culinary educator. You know, I asked everyone, do you do the typical American Thanksgiving or do you bring your ethnic traditions into it? And he said they do a whole combination of traditional fare with Indian and African American thrown in for his mixed family. He said this year they're going all Indian vegetarian. They're going to have appetizers, a sampling of Mumbai street foods. They're going to have a spinach red lentil soup with mustard and cumin. And their main dish is going to be paneer marinated in cream and saffron with a golden raisin chili sauce. And a lot of people will be listening and say, well, that's not Thanksgiving. But in fact, it is. It is for this family. And it can be for you also. There's so many people that are eating so differently now. You mentioned gluten-free. There's vegetarians. There are so many ways to mix up this holiday because if you focus on seasonal fresh ingredients, this is such a great time of year. Everything has just been harvested. We have all the winter squash, the sweet potatoes, the yams. It goes on and on. Oh, also, this sounds so great. Raghavan will be having for dessert funnel cakes with a saffron cardamom glaze cloaked in a house-made condensed milk.
Kathy Gunst is with us, and we're taking a kind of tour of American Thanksgivings. And in that tour, we're including the ways that all sorts of people now celebrate Thanksgiving, what they have brought to it, what they put on their table. Now, Kathy, we've talked a lot about, I guess, the metaphor of stuffing, you know, what's inside of that bird. How about the bird itself?
This is maybe my favorite story. My oldest daughter has a dear friend named David Harry Yoon. He is a young filmmaker out in Los Angeles, and he's Korean. She said, you have to talk to David. David's story is unbelievable. So I just wanted to read you a little bit of what he wrote to me, because this is a gorgeous essay. I wish we had time for all of it. But this is the story of David Yoon growing up in New Jersey. And this is what he had to say. Well, Thanksgiving's always a funny time for us. It's always held in my third aunt's McMansion, somewhere around the Short Hills Mall in New Jersey. As far as I can remember, Thanksgiving was always treated the same way. My third aunt would toil away cooking a beautiful turkey that she will always brag about, how the secret is cooking the turkey in bacon fat or brining it in apple cider. She'll have all the traditional sides, mashed potatoes, gravy, stuffing, yams, cranberry sauce, and green beans. But in addition, she'll make sure to also cook the Korean dishes that one might have at such a ceremonial event, slow-cooked beef stew and house-made kimchi. So we sit for dinner. My uncle pours everyone red wine from a decanter. My father would say grace. My cousin would carve the turkey. And then we would eat. And it's always the same. No one ever touched the turkey. We all have our excuses, he writes. Sometimes we would politely take a slab of turkey and pretend to eat it, or even try to eat it and see if maybe this year we'll like turkey. But usually we don't. Our chopsticks crave all the colorful pickled veggies, the fish and peppers that are cooked in egg batter, the slow-cooked beef slabs that just fall off the bone. The turkey mostly just sits at the center of the table, looking completely perfect, especially beside the giant sushi boat boat that usually provided us with our appetizer.
Oh, my goodness. Kathy Gunst reading there from the filmmaker. David Yoon is his name?
David Harry Yoon.
Well, you're talking about things that unite and separate us, right? You know, this family is craving that idea of being the American family, you know, having the turkey in the center. But I was talking earlier to one of my colleagues who said, I don't like turkey. My mother doesn't like turkey. You know, one year for Thanksgiving, we just gave ourselves permission to make Chinese food. This year, we're having steak tips and potatoes.
I love it.
But it speaks to that people's individual will. That's also a very American thing,
very
as well as
much,
belonging.
Very much so. It is the very basis of what the idea of freedom is, that we'll do what we want. But we still, you know, just like people get Christmas trees every year, even though some of them are Jewish, and even though they can't stand all the work and the mess and the fuss, but there are these symbols of holidays, and turkey is the one for this holiday. Frances Lamb, the food writer, wrote an essay, and I'll just read you the first few lines because it's the same idea. He says, I've suffered so many indignities already, being the child of Chinese immigrants, weird fried rice instead of pizza at my birthday parties, piano lessons every weekend, like some cliche out of the Joy Luck Club. Fine, but why, Mom? Why can't we have turkey for Thanksgiving? And he writes a whole essay about how his mother had no interest in turkey. That wasn't their thing. But as a young American boy growing up, that's what he wanted. It is that idea of wanting to fit in. So many stories from immigrant cooks and immigrant chefs who talk about these childhood stories where they were deprived, quote, normal American food, and the quest for that. And on this most American holiday, it really just screams, let me be normal, let there be a turkey on the table.
Love to eat turkey, cause it's good. Love to eat turkey like a good boy should, cause it's turkey to eat, so good.
What a pleasure to speak with you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Happy Thanksgiving. Wonderful to see you.
And happy Thanksgiving to you. Kathy Gunst, food writer, chef, and public radio personality. Her cookbook, Notes from a Maine Kitchen, is a great resource for seasonally inspired recipes. You can read more from some of the stories that Kathy was able to gather, including that story from Korean-American David Yoon, and also Von Diaz, who is a journalist in New York, who's written a lot about the place of food in the Puerto Rican culture and her own kitchen. Those are all at wordofmouthradio.org. Coming up, NHBR's Sean Hurley travels back in time to a 19th century Thanksgiving dinner. That's when Word of Mouth continues.